Hi, we're Grace Life, and we'd love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you.
Father, I want to thank you that this evening, even though it's wet outside, I thank you that we can just have a great time inside together, just in your word, and that for every single one of us, it's like destiny time for us. As we dig into your word and we see truth, it's going to set us free and enable us to walk in everything that you've got for us, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. So for those of you who are early this morning or this evening, I trust you enjoyed the popcorn. Anyone enjoyed the popcorn? For those of you who were early, we handed out popcorn. We only had a limited amount, so we decided to give it out. If you were in the morning service, everyone got it. Because it's a smaller, and so it takes a long time to make popcorn. You know, so that's why there was a not for everyone. So maybe next time you come earlier, you get some popcorn or something else. We don't know. Just throwing it out there. But we've been doing a relationship series, not the romantic relationship, but just general relationships. Because relationships really make the world go round, right? We've all got relationships in our lives. We're all dealing with stuff. And you know, one of the things which has come out of this series is supposed to be 1 week, and then I realized, like, just from your guys' response, some of you messaged me on Facebook, some of you contacted me personally, and just told me how it's really blessed you and how much it's meant to you. So then I realized, well, we got to probably dig a bit deeper and speak about a few more things. And so that's why we're in our third week and our final week. Next week, we're going to be starting a completely new series, so watch social media for more information on that. But, you know, the one thing with relationships which blesses me is that you realize that you can't fulfill your destiny without relationships with other people. Good relationships will help you to fulfill your destiny. You know, so it's important that you have good relationships in your life. If you're going to be a hermit, you're not going to fulfill your destiny. You're going to just hide somewhere. You're not going to fulfill your destiny. You got to, you know, even if it's just relating with your family, your destiny is wrapped up in relating to your family and ministering to them. You know, you can't just go live in the mountains, you and Jesus. He wants you to influence other people. This evening, we're looking at influence and how we allow people to influence us and how we influence other people. But just on the relationship thing, you know, we often turn it around and we think that good relationships help me fulfill my destiny, so bad relationships keep me from my destiny. That's partially true. Just because you've got bad relationships in your life doesn't mean you're not going to fulfill your destiny. It's how you handle those bad relationships that determines whether you're going to fulfill your destiny or not. So the whole thing is, you know, if not everybody's going to love you. Amen? Jesus said, if everyone speaks well of you, you know, he said, woe unto you when everyone speaks well of you. So it's like, if everybody thinks you're awesome, then you're in trouble. So your aim in life mustn't be for everyone to think you're awesome. It must be for you to live out who you are in Christ, live out your calling, live out your destiny, honor God as much as you can in the way that you live. And some people aren't going to like it. Let them deal with that. You need to be honoring towards all people. You need to be respectful. You need to be peaceable, like as much as possible, the scripture says, and love them. But not everyone's going to be at peace with you. Did Jesus have peace? Was everyone at peace with Jesus? Let's put it like that. The answer is no. Did Jesus have only good relationships? No. Let's talk about Judas for a minute. Judas was one of his inner circle, and he betrayed Jesus, and Jesus got crucified for it. So, you know, that's not a very good relationship. How many of you want a relationship where someone's going to crucify you or sell you out? You know, we don't want that, but how we handle, you know how Jesus handled that relationship? You got to learn to handle relationships like this. You know, he knew what was inside Judas, and yet he got down on his hands and knees, and he washed Judas's feet. The night before Judas was going to betray him, he got down on his hands and his knees and he served Judas. So he loved, he was selfless towards Judas. So, you know, the Judases in your life, you don't have to be buddy-buddy with them, but you have to love them. You have to, you know, you don't have to. I'm just saying the godly way is to love them. The godly way is to serve them. The godly way is to seek, how can I be a blessing to them? Anyway, tonight we're looking at influencer and influences. Okay, so we'll see how much we get through. But the first scripture there, Ephesians chapter 6. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And what this verse is saying is that people are not our enemy. Okay, how many of you have an enemy like at the workplace, or an enemy at home, or an enemy at class? Now, you don't really have an enemy there. You have someone who doesn't like you, someone who's attacking you, someone who's operating badly towards you, but they're being influenced demonically to act the way that they are. Now, I trust everyone's seen this in the movies or a cartoon or something. You know, little angel and a little devil on your shoulder. It's funny how they put the devil and they put an angel and not God. But I don't know if I only thought of that this morning. But you know, you've got an angel and a devil on your shoulder, and the one saying you should do it, the other saying you shouldn't do it, the one saying you should do it, the one saying you shouldn't do it. Come on, it's going to be nice. No, you know that that's bad. Anyone experienced that before? It's not so far from reality, is it? It's kind of like temptation and action. And what that's showing us is what the scripture is talking about. There are influences behind people that cause them to do what they do. We all get influenced. We allow ourselves, let's put it like this. However you're being influenced, you're allowing it to happen. So you're either allowing God to influence you, or you're allowing the other guy to influence you, the devil. How many of you want the devil to influence you? I'm glad I don't see any hands here. But the point is that you know, we get to choose who influences us, whether it's people, different people in our lives, but I'm talking specifically now about the demonic and God. Okay? But we've got to realize that people are not our enemy. The enemy is the devil, Satan. And he's influencing people. Like, you go and live godly. We've looked at the scripture. You go live godly, people are going to persecute you for it. Okay? It's not that individual doesn't really know sometimes why they don't like you. That individual sometimes doesn't know why they're attacking you or why they're being mean towards you. But there's something inside of them that is just rising up against you and just wanting to destroy you. Doesn't want to, wanting to make your life miserable. And it's the enemy influencing them. Okay, when people are making our lives difficult like that, we shouldn't be responding like the world responds. Okay, what do I mean by that? I'm not going to ask the question. I'm sure many of you have seen Days of Our Lives. Or a soapy of sorts. I haven't watched one in ages, but it's pretty much the same thing every 10 years, isn't it? Yeah, they're having that standoff and they're looking in opposite directions, talking to each other. Don't know how they can hear each other, but they're talking away from each other. And then the one comes up and says, "But I love you," or something. And then, you know, the one hits the other. And it's just kind of always like something like that. But the point is like, because we've watched TV, Hollywood has trained us to respond in a specific way. And so you get into situations and circumstances, and what happens? Naturally, you're just responding like the world responds. You know, Romans 12 verse 2 says, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If we're just sitting ducks in the world, what's going to happen is it's going to conform us to the pattern of this world, and we're going to start acting like the world and living like the world. But if we're in the Word, and that's our dominating influence, and the Word is influencing us to change, and our minds are transforming, and we're starting to think like God thinks, and act like God acts, and choose what He puts in His Word, and everything like this, then what's going to happen is, in a situation where someone deserves a slap across the face, what are you going to do? You're going to love them. Jesus, you know, that's what Jesus did. He didn't, like, kick Judas out. What did He do? We wash Jesus' feet. You know, there is a place for church discipline. I believe that, but it needs to be done correctively and in love and all of that. We spoke about it last week. But what I'm saying is that we don't operate the way the world operates. Jesus said, you know, love those who hate you. Pray for those who despitefully use you. Bless those who curse you. You know, you tell the world to do that and they think you're cuckoo, right? James 1:20, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So this is saying, you know, we need to do things the way that God puts in His Word. When we choose to go the way of the world, the wrath of man, someone like cuts you off in traffic, amen? Someone cuts you off in traffic and then you just tell them everything you're just thinking in that moment. Even though they can't hear you, you just, you know, burst a gasket. you burst a gasket and you're just like blowing out in your car and you're like, well, it doesn't affect them. But you know what? That's affecting you. The wrath of man doesn't produce the righteousness of God. So if we're responding like the world responds, even if it's not hitting someone, but it's letting anger out, you know what it's doing? Is it's destroying you. It's not producing godly fruit in you. It's not, you know, it's only going to end up being bad. So we need to learn that you know, that it's always the right time to do the right thing. You know, and this doesn't mean because we're doing the right thing, we're always going to have perfect relationships. Some people won't like you. I remember when I just got a handle on some of this relationship stuff. This was about 10 years ago now. And I just got a revelation of self-centeredness is the root of all grief. Our next scripture, I'll just put it up there for you. It's a blessing. Only by pride comes contention. Proverbs 13, verse 10. That's I preach that at weddings. Only by pride comes contention. You know, self-centeredness is the root of all grief. Whenever I'm angry, it's because I'm full of myself. That's a winner. If you can get a handle on that, then relationships become a lot easier, especially marriage. It really does. The more selfless you are and seeking to be a blessing, the better things are. It's just really a lot easier. I know some people don't agree with that, but it's because they don't do that. They don't want to do that. So anyway, where was I before I got on track there? I was just saying how, you know, it's always the right time to do the right thing. Self-centeredness, if you get a handle on that, then it'll help make relationships much easier. I had a great testimony, which I was going to share with that, but it'll come back to me in a minute. So the source of all grief in life, all quarrels, all altercations is pride or self-centeredness. And this shows us that if we're having issues with someone, pride is the cause. It's not the person. Even if they're offensive, even if they're hurtful, you're hurting because you've received that. We spoke about this the past 2 weeks, so if you're lost, get the CD. About 10 years ago, I remembered it. This friend, this person that was I was in a specific church, and this person, I don't know, I didn't have much to do with her, but she just didn't like me, I don't know what, but she wanted to speak to me, so then we got together, and she was like, you know, you don't talk to me, and she like listed a whole bunch of things I didn't even, you know, she wasn't on my radar even for friendship, in a sense of, we were in similar circles, but I was really kind of like helpless in the situation. She just said, you know, you don't greet me, you never talk to me, you're talking to everyone else, and just listed a whole bunch of things. And in that moment, I was like completely justified, and I figured out how I can just say, you're wrong, you know, this is the situation, and I'm sorry for that, and what are you expecting from this relationship, this friendship? And yeah, I could have gone that route, but you know what I did? I just learned about this verse. So I said, you know what, I'm really sorry I hurt you. Like, I realize, like, I haven't been treating you like I should have. And so I said, I please forgive me, I'll seek to change. Knowing in my back of my head, this is counter what you know, this is counter culture. You're right, she's wrong. But I was like, I'm going to humble myself, I'm going to take the blame. You know what she did? This proves that not everyone's going to like you even when you try and do the right thing. She turned on me. It's like, oh, you're so self-righteous, and she just went up onto another level of arguing with me. And I was like, wow, I didn't expect that. I thought this would work out a bit better, Andrew. You know, I learned this from you, and now, you know, it's not working out like I thought. But it just shows you that not everyone's going to like you. Philippians 2 verse 4, let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Okay, so the problem is that we're more concerned with looking out for ourselves rather than anyone else. That's the way of the world. You look out for yourself. You know, we live in a culture and a generation where we're completely consumed with self. You know, we're not thinking about other people and how can we serve, how can we be a blessing. And, you know, if you've got a room full of people and everyone's looking out for themselves, you've got a lot of problems there. But if you're seeking to be a blessing, seeking to enrich someone else's life, seeking to just touch someone else and help them be better, then you know what? It's going to be an awesome environment. And when I was at Bible school in the States, I arrived there. Nobody was washing dishes. Nobody was cleaning up in the house. There was, I don't know, about five guys or something. So you can imagine. And so it's five bachelors living in one house. And the landlady, she even came when she would come and collect the rent. The one day she said, you guys should really maybe like on a Saturday morning put some worship music on and just like have a clean house cleaning praise party kind of. I don't know how she explained it, but everyone was like, no, we're not going to do that. And I like neat and tidy and stuff. And, you know, I don't like things growing in the microwave. And if you want to use a cup or a fork or a knife or a dish, you want to find it clean, right? Sometimes there wouldn't be anything in the house. And, you know, eventually someone would wash. And I just it was just like, you know, I chose rather than demand law, rules and go that route, which is the way that all of us would probably go. You know, I said to myself, like, these guys work and they're in Bible school. I can't work because I'm a foreigner in this country. I'm just yet on a student visa. And I decided, you know what, although I've got a lot of extra work I need to do study-wise, because I'm a bit behind, because I arrived late, I said, you know what, I'm going to bless these guys and just wash the dishes. And it was horrific stuff in the beginning. You know, to clean that microwave, the things growing in it, like all over the sides and stuff. I remember the first time I noticed that, just kind of like, we're heating up food in this thing, guys, you know, and then you're eating it. You know, so anyway, so I just, every week was, and I'm not blowing my own trumpet, I just don't have anyone else's testimony on this, so I'm telling you my testimony. So I just decided, you know, and sometimes it would freak me out, and I'd be like, this is a bit difficult, but I'd be like, Lord, I'm just going to bless them, I'm just going to serve them. So every week, you know, every 2 days, I probably would wash the dishes. I tried to do it every day to keep on top of it, and sometimes I'd even make them meals, and, you know, just by blessing them and not complaining and never mentioning anything, they started to chip in and help, and even buy food for the meals that I would cook, and clean up, and you can't do it all, you know, let me help you out. And it just worked out like that. And it was a happy environment, which that could have been a toxic environment, right? Across the country, in another state, a friend of mine was in Bible school, also a fairly grace-based Bible school, and he had the similar situation in his house. And he Skyped me, we would Skype in regularly, and he Skyped me and he said, you know, there's just this issue in our house, and it's just like contentious, and we're trying to figure it out. And he said, you know, no one wants to wash dishes, and no one's sticking to their duties. And I just said, well, you know what I did? And it's really working well. I told him, and he's like, yeah, you know, you can hear that, like, that's a lot of work. And it is a lot of work, you know. But he's like, no, we're having a house meeting tonight, and we're going to put some new rules in place. And I mean, it was all, when I spoke to him, it was always a contentious issue. It was always terrible. It was always like, you know, they loved each other, but they fought a lot because whose cup is this? You know? And I mean, who wants to live like that? You know, a few years before that, when I was at Year of Your Life, and that's where Angela and I were together, we were in the same house, and I was the cooking leader of over 20 people for a whole term. And so I was in charge of a team of making sure that 20 people could eat every day, three times a day. And if someone leaves their bowl, knife, fork, spoon, whatever, it piles up. And I wasn't Mr. Grace guy then. I had a crate, and I would put, if I knew whose it was, I would put it in their bedroom. If I didn't know whose it was, it would go in the crate, and it would stay outside in the courtyard until someone wanted to wash it. But I wouldn't allow it in the kitchen until it was washed. Because I was like, this is how things go. Then I got a revelation of grace, and I didn't treat the guys like that. And you know what? We had good relationships. So I'm just showing you what you can do if you want good relationships. Okay, so now we're talking about influence. John Maxwell says that leadership is influence. Okay, so those who you are allowing to influence you are those who you are allowing to influence to lead you. Okay? Those whom you are influencing, you are leading. So if you're exerting influence over someone, you're leading them, really. And if they're exerting influence over you, you're leading them. And you know what? You might not see yourself like this, but you know that it's God's will for you to be an influencer. Every single one of you, God wants you to be an influencer. He wants you to influence people for their benefit, for them to be better, for their lives to be better. He wants you to use you to enrich their lives. Look at this next verse here. It says, Matthew chapter 5, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its taste, it cannot be made salty again. Salt is useless if it loses its salty taste. It will be thrown out where people will just walk on it, You are the light that shines for the world to see. You are like a city built on a hill that cannot be hidden. So you are salt and you are light. God's called you as a believer to be an influencer. Okay? Light influences darkness, and that when the light goes on, the darkness leaves. Salt adds flavor. It's one of the things. It also preserves. There's a whole bunch of things. But I like the flavor thing, because the world is tasteless, and the believer adds taste to a tasteless world. So that, you know, that's part of your DNA now as a believer. Okay, you're called to be an influencer. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says that we're ambassadors of Christ. God has called you to represent Him. Not so that you, and let me say this, it's for the explicit purpose and reason for you to be an influencer. I mean, imagine you're God and you have people representing you. You want them to influence other people, right? You want them to do what you want them to do. You don't want them to just be out there purposeless and aimless. There's a purpose for your life. There's a point to you doing what you're doing. And it's to bring influence and change and help people's lives become better in your sphere of influence. And obviously, if He wants you to use you to influence other people's lives and help them be better, He wants your life to be better first, because you can't give what you don't have. He wants you to be a blessing, but how can you be a blessing if you're not blessed? So He wants to bless you so you can be a blessing. So, I think it's we've spoken a little bit about this, but it's a good question to ask: who is influencing you first? And then we're going to talk about who are you influencing. So there's the two elements that I want to talk about this evening: who's influencing you and who are you influencing. The first one, who are you, or who's influencing you, is 1 Corinthians 15 verse 33. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Evil company corrupts good habits. Yeah, you might think that the negative people that you're hanging out with aren't affecting you. But, you know, if they're the people you hang out with the most, then you're deceived. They're going to influence you and it's going to be negative. Okay? If you think about Jesus, Luke 15, verse 1. Then drew near the sinners and publicans for to hear Him. So the sinners and the publicans, the tax collectors, the lowest of low, they all wanted to hang out with Jesus. Why? Because they wanted to hear what He had to say. Jesus was accepting. He wasn't condemning. He wasn't judging them. He was loving them. Isn't that awesome? So think about it. All the riffraff were drawing near to Jesus because they wanted to hang out with Him. Were they influencing Jesus negatively? Obviously not. Jesus was rubbing off on them. So we've got to be careful with who's rubbing off on us, and we've got to be purposeful and strategic with who we're rubbing off on. Okay, so it's really something I think important that you have to think about. Now, another verse from 1 Corinthians 4. It's not on there, so you're going to have to turn there if you've got a Bible. But turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And while you're turning there, I'll just say, once again, you know, you can be friendly with everyone, but you don't have to be everyone's friends, right? You can be friendly with everyone, but you don't have to be everybody's friends. That's the first thing I want to say. And then you need to really be purposeful in who you can get to speak into your life, and the friends that you hang out with, the closest people that you have to, because they are going to help you on your way to your destiny or pull you away from it. Okay? And 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14. I saw the scripture in worship, and it really struck me. It says, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. Paul's writing to the church, and he's saying, I write these things not to shame you, but as my beloved sons to warn you. And then it got me thinking. Paul's writing to the church, and he's saying, hey, I love you like a dad. And he's saying, I'm not writing these things and telling you what to do and everything and encouraging you because I want to make you feel bad. And a lot of people would automatically say, if you read before chapter 4, Paul's just being legalistic. Paul, Mr. Grace Man, he's being legalistic because we don't like being exposed. But what is Paul doing here? He's saying, I'm writing to you as a father. I'm wanting to warn you, not make you feel bad. Okay, so, it's I think an important thing when with regards to influence is to ask yourself the question about what's the intention of the person influencing me. Like, for example, myself. Okay, I'm the pastor here, the senior pastor, the lead pastor, whatever, and I'm leading Grace Life Ministries in a direction. If you don't know me, or if you know me, or whatever the case is, you should always be kind of checking when I'm leading in a direction, is the motivation for me, or is the motivation for us? Is it for you? If you come to me for advice, you know, am I advising you because it's going to benefit me, or am I advising you because it's going to benefit you, or because I think it's God? Okay, I'm not going to answer the question, but you know, you need to ask yourself questions like this. And then I read the next verse, and it shows me, I like this. I like this. This isn't in my notes. That's why I like it. It's fresh. It says, verse 15, "For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, you have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me." And it goes on, and there's a lot more you can get out of that. But for though you have 10,000 instructors, I would say if someone's coming along and they're just instructing you, just telling you how to live, what to do, giving you instruction, but they're not fathering you, then be wary. It might be a good instructor. There's some great teachers out there who are not pastors, and you can get a lot out of them. But there's some guys out there that they're not interested in fathering or shepherding, they're only interested in giving instruction. And that's, you know, over the past couple of years, I haven't really said this much, but one of my, what did you call it? One of my gauges for who stands at the pulpit, whether it's in-house or out-house, is the individual's got to be leading people. The individual that stands at the pulpit's got to be shepherding, got to be walking with people. You know, we've had some people who don't want to shepherd people. They don't want to get intimate with people and find out what their problems are and help them and you know, not necessarily just lead a life group, but just walk with people. And they want to stand at the pulpit. I'm like, well, if you don't love people enough to walk with them, you don't love people enough to stand at the pulpit properly. And so, you know, I'm very sticky with things like that. Because I'm trying to protect everybody. And anyway, for though you have 10,000 instructors, everybody wants to tell you what to do, amen? Though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet ye have not many fathers. People who are willing just to walk with you every step of the way, care for you, shepherd you, love you, help you when you're making the same wrong decision again and again and again and again, and help you walk through it, okay? And he's saying, hey, I've begotten you through the gospel. So he's saying, I'm your spiritual father. And then he says, I beseech you, be followers of me. In another verse, I don't know if it's down here or where it is, but he says, follow me as I follow Christ. You know, it's a cult if you're just following the leader. Follow the leader as far as they follow Christ. When they're going a bit off, then keep following Christ. Let them go off and hopefully they come back. But you know, don't follow someone if they're not following Christ. Amen? So some warning signals on who's influencing you. And these are things that I've really seen over the years really happen in Grace Life. So some of these are based on specific situations, but it's mostly just, I think, common sense. You know, sometimes this isn't a negative thing, it's a positive thing, but this is some indicators which I've seen of be wary of these people. So it's like sometimes people will use gifts and money to try and manipulate you. Be wary of that. I mean, I've had that as a pastor. They come and they just want to bless me and whatever. And I appreciate that. There's some people who do it genuinely. So I'm not saying it's wrong. You're welcome to give me stuff. But what I'm saying is that some people use it as a bargaining tool. And then, like, almost sometimes within the same breath or a little bit of time later, they're now all of a sudden trying to tell me how to lead the church and take it in a direction. Or you should make this decision. And you know what? From the beginning of Grace Life, I've played dumb to things like that. I can sniff out manipulation. And so, you know, we've had some people, I'm thinking of people who aren't here anymore. I don't know of anyone who's like this in church right now. But like a couple of years back, we had this one guy, and he would come and he would always give generously if I had a mission trip or a this trip or a that trip. And then he would be like, sit me down and you know, you should be teaching this. And it wasn't grace. And I was like, wow, I'm not going to teach that because I don't agree with it. After a few times, he actually left the church because he couldn't agree. But I didn't care that he was a big giver because, hey, God's my provider, not you. You know, so you need to be careful and ask and check out people's motivation. Are they trying to draw you to themselves? You know, one of the leadership sayings we have is someone in the church building their ministry or the ministry? If someone comes in and they're building their ministry and they're not, let's build the kingdom together. If they're kind of like drawing people to themselves and it's becoming an exclusive thing and it's isolated, we're very careful and wary of those people because that's dangerous. We've had that before. You know, I shared about it last week. There was an individual who was doing that and was sowing dissension and just gossiping all over the place. You know, we gave them fair warning and they didn't change or repent, so we told them where to go. Go home. We didn't tell them to go to hell. I just realized that sounded like that, but we didn't tell them that. We still love them. So anyway, yeah, the thing I wanted to say was, you know, it's important to watch who's influencing you. Okay, you know, one of my keys also when I'm listening to a teacher, a Bible teacher or whatever, you know, that kind of thing, or if I'm allowing someone to speak into my life, is how do they value local church, or don't they? Because you know, Andrew Womack doesn't have a church, for example. Okay, I went to Andrew's Bible school, and I that's where I got the revelation of grace and all of that. But he goes to a church. I went to the same church he went to. It's a big church. He didn't agree with everything. And he even said to the pastor once, if you give me this church in 3 months, I'll probably work it down from 10,000 people to 500, maybe 50. Because you know, you're preaching just because of his preaching. Let's leave it there. And the point is that you'll never find the perfect church. And so he understands that. And so it's kind of like just go somewhere where you can find that you can add value and where you can submit and go for it. You know, and I remember doing that in one of my churches that I attended for a while. I was struggling to find a church, and I've always valued church. So it was kind of like, I know I need to be plugged in, fellowship, and all of this, Lord. So where must I go? So I went to this church, and I was like, I did not enjoy the worship, Father. The worship wasn't my style. It wasn't my style. And then, you know, the preaching wasn't my style, but I connected with a few people. And I was like, what's more important? And then I went a couple times, and I enjoyed it a little bit more, but, you know, I didn't agree with everything they believed and all of this type of stuff, but I connected with people. And then I thought, I can add value here, and I can serve. So I joined because of that reason. And I was able to add value, and I stayed there until God said go. Not because I agreed with them 100%, and not because I wasn't in love with the church. I was going where God put me to go. You know, if you dig deep enough, you'll find some problems here. If you haven't found a problem with my sermon already, then just to hang around and you'll dig deeper, get to know us a bit better, and you'll be like, I don't like them because X, Y, and Z. Doesn't matter. There's going to be problems everywhere. Just find somewhere where you can connect with people, add value, and be a blessing. And grow. Obviously, that's one of the biggest things. You know, I always used to tell guys that were wondering, should I stay in this church or should I go to that church before Grace Life existed, was, are you growing there? If you're not growing there, are you helping other people grow there? If you answer no to both of those, find another church. You probably have to change your attitude. That might be a different factor involved there. But just you know, it's important. I think I've said enough there. So I've got other things to say. Let's move on. Another thing which I think is important is if someone who you submitting to or allowing to speak into your life or mentoring you, and they're always speaking bad about leadership or bad about another church or bad about other people, they're just commonly called gossip, don't let people like that influence you. It's going to rub off on you negatively. It's not going to be good for you. Okay? You know, and I said this morning, and I mean it with all my heart, I give you the license to expose. You know, you've got a license to expose that. If you're in a conversation and someone's talking bad about leadership or somebody in the church or whatever, just stop them and say, hey, maybe we should call that person and ask them to join the conversation. If you're the one who's talking bad about someone and you realize you're wrong, just say, hey, I realize this is ungodly conversation. I just want to say sorry. Let's talk about something else. Hey, it's lovely weather we're having today. It's quite strange for this time of the year. You know, it hasn't really snowed much this year. You know, just change the topic to anything, but repent, change. Okay, we talk about influence, and you know, that type of stuff will negatively not only influence you, but everyone. We spoke about it last week. If I've got a problem with Peter, well, I think, you know, he offended me or something, I don't just go and talk to Jacques and say, hey, Jacques, Peter really upset me. He didn't greet me at church on Sunday, and I think he's in terrible sin because, you know, you just make up something, and I've infected Jacques, and then, you know, Etienne comes and talks to us, and we're like, yo, that Peter. And I've infected him, and they go and infect, you know, that's bad. The Bible says, Jesus said, if you've got a problem with someone, go to them directly. Don't spread your garbage and your poison with everyone. Deal with your heart. So, one of the things I want to talk about just with allowing people to influence you is beware of manipulators. So just a few things on manipulators. The manipulator will try and make you feel bad or guilty even when you've done nothing wrong. The manipulator is never completely satisfied. The manipulator is not happy unless they get their own way. They may use temper tantrums or threaten you to try and get you to do what they want you to do. The manipulator imposes their will in every situation. The manipulator may walk away from responsibility or threaten to end a relationship because they're not getting what they want. It's really just immaturity, don't you think? Then, just there's going to be some notes on this on the screen, but some indications or indicators of a spiritually manipulative church. I got this from GodQuestions.com because I was trying to see what other people say about it, and I liked it, so that's why it's here. But you know, I think these are things to look out for in a church, and if you ever see something like this or sniff them in Grace Life, then you know, please feel free to come and talk to us as leaders, and we'll listen, and then we'll talk about it, and we'll see what if we need to change something or whatever. But the point is like these are things to be wary of. Firstly, legalism, obviously. What they would do is come and say, to be accepted by God, you need to do X, Y, and Z. But they'll turn it and say, to be accepted by us, you need to do X, Y, and Z. And they'll try and get you into a performance mentality, which is one of the other ones there. Okay, then demands obedience. Obedience is good, but don't just follow the leader blindly. You've got your own brain. God gave it to you. Follow your leader. Honor your leader, whatever. But don't just follow them blindly. Follow them as they follow Christ. Feel free to ask questions. We said it last week. If you've got questions about things we do or whatever, then ask. You know, we're not hiding anything. We're transparent. Then it says unquestioning submission. You know, you just submit. Just do what we say. You can't question. There should be a place for allowing questions. Obviously, you can ask a question in an arrogant way, and you can ask a question in a loving way. So make sure your heart's right when you ask questions. Then the next one would be punishment. Yeah, if church is threatening you or leadership is threatening you with loss of privileges, shunning, expulsion, or things like that, they, if you don't do this, then you're going to be punished. If you don't come to church, you know, maybe they'll throw in God will punish you. Or they'll throw in, you know, we're going to punish you. You can't, I don't know what they'd say, but they'd throw something in there. The next one would be misplaced loyalty. You know, not even understanding what loyalty is. It's loyalty to God before loyalty to man. Follow me as I follow Christ. Emphasis on performance. You have to look good because it makes me look good. Hey, you know, guys, you're not dressing appropriately. When you come to church, you need to wear shoes. You know, it's like that's a silly example, and it's a very lesser example, but you get churches like that, and that's really just manipulation at the end of the day. Come comfortable. The dress code is clothes. Yeah, I might dress up. I might wear a jacket or something, but that's because it's my preference. You don't want to, you don't have to. Okay? Then another one would be exclusivism, where, you know, we're the only ones who are right. Everybody else is wrong, and, you know, we're not going to interact with them because it's us. It's them and it's us. It's like, that's wrong. That's cultish, actually. And you need to be careful of that. Another one which links with that is isolation, where, you know, you got to come to me for advice. You can't go to the other guy. What you asked them for, you went to their marriage seminar and you didn't come to ours? That's ungodly. You know, isolation. You can't hang out with your friends and with your family. You've got to hang out with your spiritual family. This is spiritual family. It's awesome. We have, you know, usually on Christmas Day, we didn't do it last year, but every other year we've been having whoever's at church on Sunday can come for Christmas lunch with us. Or whoever's at church on Christmas Day, that is. Because it's family. But we're not saying you can't go and have Christmas with your family. You have to come to us. That's wrong. It's manipulation. Okay, and then humiliation of the disobedient. Where it's like, you know, someone who's disobedient, we kind of expose them and then we put them up on the screen and we say, hey, this guy, this is what he did, and you just humiliate them. That's wrong. Okay? Matthew chapter 7. You know, this is part of church leadership's responsibilities towards you, is to protect you from wolves in sheep's clothing. Be on your guard against false prophets. They come to you looking like sheep on the outside, but on the inside they are really like wild wolves. You will know them by what they do. Okay, thorn bushes do not bear grapes, and briars do not bear figs. A healthy tree bears good fruit, but a poor tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a poor tree cannot bear good fruit. So what Jesus is saying is that you'll know them by their fruit. If you're wanting to receive from someone, my advice would be look at their fruit. Is there fruit in their life? Do they experience what they're talking about? Or is there no fruit? Is the fruit bad? Yeah, there's a particular minister who's very popular around the world and everything like this. And I've always had people trying to connect me and trying to get me to listen to this person and all of this type of stuff. And before I met him and before I got to know his ministry and everything, I got to know everybody who follows him. Because these were the guys encouraging me to go that route. And I would look at their lives and I'd go like, if this is the fruit in your life, I don't want to even start listening. I'm not interested. And it's funny because I mentioned that to my now new pastor friend in Alabama, and he said exactly the same thing about exactly the same person. And it wasn't gossip, it was just like, it's amazing how many people are so negative in following that, you know, that teaching. And the fruit is bad, so then why would you accept that teaching? Because the fruit is negative. Just like if someone's telling you what to do with your life, how to make good decisions in your life, just ask yourself, has this person made good decisions in their life? What's the fruit in their life? You know, you don't want to go and ask someone who's unsuccessful for advice on how to be successful, right? You want someone who's successful to give you advice on how to be successful. So, you know, it's just common sense. Acts 20, 28 to 31. And you know what that first verse, that Matthew 7 is saying, is that there will be people who come in and they actually just want to destroy it. And it might not be them, it might be the Spirit in operation, but it happens. Be careful for yourselves and for all the people God has given you. And this is in our leadership meetings, this is our key verse, which we haven't looked at it for a while, but we used to look at it every single week, and it's even printed in our minutes. You know, be careful for yourself. We've got to look after ourselves as leaders first. Then look to all the flock. Because if you don't look after yourself and you're not healthy, nothing you lead will be healthy. Okay? And for all the people that God has given you, they're not your people, God's given them to you, they're His people. The Holy Spirit gave you the work for caring for this flock. You must be shepherds of the church of God, not the church of Shane. The people He bought with His blood, not with Shane's blood. You see what I'm saying? We're custodians of people that God has given us, and we're here to look after people that belong to God. And so that's why Grace Life is probably one of the easiest churches you could ever leave. It is. You know, in that you belong to God, you don't belong to me. So, I mean, I don't know if people expected some other kind of response when they've told me that they're leaving, because that's sometimes manipulation. You know, I'm leaving this church. And they're wanting me to kind of, why are you leaving? And then convince them to stay. And then one of the things I don't like about that is I'm going to have to continue to convince them to stay after convincing them to stay the first time. So I don't do that. I never do that. I had someone come and say, you know what, we're leaving Grace Life. I was like, so sorry to see you go. We love you. You're welcome back anytime. Yeah, but if you feel the Lord's leading you on somewhere else, then Lord bless you. You know, fine. You don't have to write a report or tell me why. I would love to know why, but I'm not going to like dig deeper. You know, if you, it, that's maybe they're trying to manipulate or something like that. But it's a point of you're God's sheep. So if you want to go, if you're feeling Him lead you somewhere else, go somewhere else. Okay. Then it says there, you must be shepherds to the church of God, which He bought with His own blood. I know that after I leave, Paul speaking, after I leave, some men will come into your group. They will be like wild wolves and will try to destroy the flock. Also, men from your own group, so some from among you, will begin to teach things that are wrong. And they will lead some of the Lord's followers away from the truth to follow them. Not to follow the truth, not to follow Jesus, but to follow them. This is a good, you can go meditate on the rest of this verse there, but there's some good stuff in here about what to watch out for with people influencing you. Are they drawing you to themselves or drawing you to Jesus? It's a good question to ask yourself. You know, if you're looking for a mentor, spiritual father, mother, someone to disciple you, then you know our life group leaders, our leaders, pastors, all of that, I highly recommend them. No one gets on those teams easily at all. Ask the team. I mean, most of them they've been around a very long time before they ever got a position of leadership. They had to be leading before they got leadership position. You know? But anyway, pick wisely, I suppose, is the thing I want to say with that. So the next point I want to make is how are you influencing others? And I think that this is a vital point which a lot of people miss. Because we've had people even, there was one guy in leadership with us and he wasn't, I don't remember if he was leadership or not. It was a while back. But he was with us for a while and he was learning things. He was excited about grace and discipleship and this and that, the next thing. Then he took a job somewhere far away where there isn't any grace life. And it was this one church which he decided to go to. And he decided this church needs grace. This church needs to learn about discipleship. Good intentions. A genuine heart. And so he decided he's going to help this church discover this stuff. Please don't join a church like that. It ends up being rebellion. Yeah, he befriended the pastor and then started trying to instruct the pastor on how to be the pastor. He's not the pastor. And eventually then, you know, it was like, well, this is wrong. This is grace. That's not grace anyway. And then this is how discipleship, you need to be doing discipleship. You shouldn't just be teaching every week like you're doing. And it got became a contentious situation where I think eventually I lost touch with the situation, but I think they got asked to leave, and people weren't allowed to fellowship with them anymore. You know, one of those kind of situations. The point there is that, you know, that's not a positive influence. We don't go in guns blazing. I'm right, you're wrong. This is what you need to believe. Some people do that. They, you know, it's like you go to an unbeliever. Let's start with an unbeliever. You're going to hell. Maybe that's most extreme, right? You go to an unbeliever and you're like, you know what? You're just like pounding them with the truth. God loves you and this and that. And it's good. You need a witness. But it's just like excessive and it's like extreme. And you end up putting the person off. And I'm sure that many of us here have people that we can't minister to because we've burned bridges. Anyone? You've witnessed to someone in such a way where they don't want to hear you anymore. They see you coming and they run. That's not God's heart. We should be wise in the way we minister to people. And that's what this verse says in Colossians 4. So I've jumped over a few there. Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. It's saying that we should be wise in the way that we witness, wise in the way that we minister to others. It says, walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. You know, what he's saying is that, you know, time is short and people need Jesus, so let's be wise in the way that we witness to them. Let's be wise in the way that we minister to them. Now, it's not just talking about unbelievers. It's talking about unbelieving believers too. Amen? How many of you know unbelieving believers? How many of you are unbelieving believers? It's like, you know, you're in a situation and Catherine sneezes and she says, oh, I'm so sick. I'm like, Catherine, you're not sick. That's unbelief. You don't speak like that as a Christian. How many of you have done that? You know, that's not wise. Catherine, I'm not picking on you, you know that. Catherine is at a certain place in her walk with God, and I'm at a certain place in my walk with God. I might be right, I might be wrong, but I'm usually right, and she might be wrong. I might be further ahead than she is. You know, usually we think we are further ahead than the other one. But when she sneezes and says, I'm so sick, it's not my opportunity to all of a sudden tell her how wrong she is and what she needs to believe. It's my opportunity to get her from where she is to where she needs to be and minister to her, not dump on her. So then I'm like, you know, what's wrong? And have compassion, show love. You know, how are you feeling? Like, when did this start? Are you feeling a bit fluish? Or just talk. Many Christians can't do that. It's like, you know, can I pray for you? You know, I've seen God heal people of different things, and I've been healed. You can share testimony. I just simple prayer. Can I just pray for you? Do it nicely and gently. Gentle. Most of us go in guns blazing. You know, walk in wisdom to them that are without. Someone says, I don't believe in giving. Well, how can you be prosperous then? If you're not a giver, you're never going to prosper. You know, it's the truth, but truth and love. Win the brother, then they want to know what you want to know, what you know. You know, before I go on with the scripture, when I first came to the Cape in 2005, I had a revelation of grace. I was like digging into teaching. My world was right side up. I was loving it. I wasn't in ministry yet. I was coming for first year of varsity, and I was just pumped up, listening to Andrew, and I was like, this is awesome teaching. You've got to listen to it. So then I started making friends with people because I'm new, and I came from Natal, and then I'd be like, you've got to listen to this stuff. Nobody wanted to take it. I had CDs on all sorts of great teachings. Nobody was interested. Nobody. Like, no one. You know when you've got something good and you want to share it with someone and no one's interested, have you been there? It's tough. And, you know, I'd be in church and then I'd make friends with a group of people or whatever, and there wasn't a culture of listening to teaching either. Nobody was interested. And so I was like, and nobody knew who Andrew Womack was really either. So I was like, okay, Lord, you know what? I'm giving up on this. I'm not going to try and help people. This stuff has changed my life radically, like radically, but I'm not going to try and force it on anyone now. I just said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to live it. And hopefully they see the fruit and they want what I've got. That's exactly what happened. People started to see like fruit in my life, joy, healing, whatever. And then they'd come like, you know, do you have anything? Marna was one of them, my wife. She came to me like, do you have any teaching that I could listen to? That was our introduction. You know, and what happened with her was she was clinically depressed on antidepressants, and she had dropped out of the course that she was doing because it was so bad. And I was praying. I knew about her situation. I was, Lord, I have teaching which can transform her life. I wasn't interested in marrying her. I didn't want to be friends with her, really. It was more just a thing of, Lord, if I can get these teachings into her hand, it'll help her. Many of you would have gone into that situation. You need to listen to this. I didn't do that. I was like, Lord, you bring her to me. I'm not going to go to her. She came to me. Do you have any teaching? I gave her the teaching. She got highly offended with me because the teaching is offensive. You know, basically what the teaching is you're responsible for your own emotions, so take control. But you know what happened? She realized that the teaching was right, and she accepted it, and she got victory. She got over it, and she came off antidepressants, and she's never been on them since then, whenever that was. And, you know, it worked. But someone's got to be open to receive. So how are you influencing people? You can try and influence a brick wall, but it's not going to happen. You're going to cause damage. Be gentle. So look at this verse. Walk in wisdom. Everyone say wisdom. Towards them that are without. Even if it's without the knowledge of the truth. They're a Christian, but they don't have the knowledge of healing. Walk in wisdom in the way that you minister to them. Amen? Redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace. Let your speech be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. So verse 5 is telling us we need to be ministering to people. So I'm not telling you not to minister to people. I'm saying minister to people wisely. But then what I'm saying to you is that verse 6 is showing us how to minister to people. And what it's saying is that we should always be gracious with what we say. Grace doesn't put the burden on the individual. Have you still got that illness? What's wrong with your faith, Joe? You know, like, you know, if you had faith, you would have received it by now. All you need is a bit more faith. Maybe you should just spend some more time with Jesus. How condemning is that? You know, I don't know what what her spiritual walk is. I don't know how much time she's spending with Jesus or anything. And I'm just assuming straight away, because you're sick, you're not spending time with Jesus and you don't know anything about healing. That's wrong. Be graceful towards the way that you minister to people. Win them over as a friend, and then they'll want to know what you know. Okay? And don't stop them like 2 months down the line. So do you want to know what I know yet? Wait for them to ask. Okay? Speak words that build others up. And as I said, you know, many Christians have lost their witness because we're cruel, we're judgmental, we're harsh. We're not like Jesus, who was loving, kind, accepting, gracious. Be like Jesus, not like the other guy. Gracious words are words that are not condemning, but liberating. You know what? One of the biggest things I realized was that even if I am right, I don't always have to be right. I'm going to say it again because I know that some of you don't. It's a bit hard for you. Even if you are right, it doesn't mean you have to be right. Even if you are right and the other person is wrong, doesn't mean you have to be right in that situation. I've often sat there in a conversation and been like, this person is completely wrong. And I've tried maybe to say something, but I know it's just falling on deaf ears or it's just going to be contentious. So I leave it. Be the bigger person and leave it. Don't like try and get into an argument because you know you're right and you know that they're wrong. Be graceful. Honor them. You don't always have to be right. If your parents, if your friends, if loved ones aren't getting grace, be patient with them. Now, I've had parents years back. I remember the one dad phoned me. What are you teaching my children? I was like, sorry? What? And he blasted me for an hour. Because his son wasn't honoring him in he was going to his dad, you're wrong, and this is the truth. Do it wisely. Do it gently. Do it honoring. Okay? Christians, we are called to be wise in the way we act and speak to people. We need to make the most of every opportunity. So I want to say, don't be forceful with what you believe. Yes, time is short and there's an urgency. We need to reach people. We've got truth which can change people's lives. But you need to be wise. You need to be gracious. You need to be kind. Being harsh and cruel and judgmental is not going to help anybody. No one got saved that way, as far as I know. Okay? Respond with compassion. You know, don't start arguments because you know you're right. Acts 1:8 is awesome. It says, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you'll receive power and you'll be a witness. That's the key I want to leave with you. Be a witness. Don't do a witness. Yes, you need to go and you need to do witnessing. You need to tell people about Jesus. You need to share the truth with them. But be a witness is more effective. Let you live it out. Let them see it works for you and then be the salesman. Okay? So many Christians go out there and it's like, Jesus is wonderful. He's changed my life so much and I'm just, my joy is just, it's overflowing, brother. So it'll radically change your life. So, you know, you don't want to go to hell. So why don't you just receive Jesus today and it'll change, all your worries will be gone. And it's just like, you hello, come alive. Let it transform you and then let them want what you've got. One of my classmates from this Bible school, same words, same things like that. I mean, I remember about 2 years later, him phoning me, and we were just chatting, and he's like, so how are things going in the ministry? And I was telling him, and he's like, how come things are working out for you? Even him, he wanted to know what we've got, because things are working out better for us than it was for him. I wasn't going to him and saying, this is what you're doing wrong. He saw the fruit, and he wanted it. Let people see the fruit in your life, and let them want it. Okay, be a witness. Let your life proclaim the truth. Yes, seek out opportunities to witness and tell people good news and the truth and healing and all of that stuff. But do it graciously and lovingly and compassionately and be a positive influence. A lot of Christians are negative influences. We're going out there and we're just burning bridges. God wants you to build bridges. If you go and just... Yeah, the word calls the word a hammer. So if I use the word as a hammer, I'm just like, hammer, hammer. You're just knocking people with the word. I'm not making friends. That's not how to make friends and influence people. The word is a sword. You shouldn't be cutting up people. Cut the devil. Hammer the devil. But use the word graciously and compassionately and kindly to bless people and love them and win them over. Amen. So, Father, I want to thank you that the word is alive and it's alive in us. Thank you that you've called each and every single person in this room to be an influencer. And I know, Father, that in order to be an influencer, we need to be influenced as well. So I thank you that each one of us would just start to be wise and cautious in whom we allow to influence us. And I just feel in my heart, you know, it's not just talking about physical people. You need to be careful in what books you read. You need to be careful in what teachings you listen to. You need to be careful in things like that too. Don't just accept everything because it's got a Christian label on it. Check it out. Compare it to the Word. You know, is it true? Is it in the Word? Is it written? I really just feel impressed in my heart right now that there's a number of you here that you've just been allowing everyone and every your teacher out there, everything. You just take anything. That's a recipe for disaster. You if you want to bake a cake and you put everything in the cake, go into your kitchen, your pantry, and put everything that you can find into the baking tin. You're not going to end up with a cake. You're going to end up with a mess. Be wise in whom you allow to speak into your life. If you sense people manipulating you, and you need some help with how to get out of that, then come speak to us and we can see how we can help you and guide you. But just be wise in who you allow to influence you. And then I really feel in my heart that there's some of you that you've been a negative influence in other people's lives because you're just so excited and zealous and passionate and wow, God's alive, you're dead, you need the truth. And so you're just going out there and you're like a loose cannon just causing damage. And God's just saying to you, He loves you, He's excited, He's passionate about what you, your enthusiasm and everything, but just take it easy. Get grounded in the Word before you try and go and get other people, you know, grounded. Just take some time to receive before you try and give. Thank you, Father. Father, I pray for each person here that you would grow us on our capacity to influence people positively and be a blessing to them so that they can reach their destiny, so that we can reach our destiny, and so that together we can build your kingdom and influence the world for you. In Jesus' name.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk to someone, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us on 021-8800-168 or at info@gracelifeministries.co.za. If you'd like to order more resources or find out more about us, you can visit our website at gracelifeministries.co.za. We'd also love to connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.